Northwest England's Festival of Diversity got underway on Thursday, June the 1st this week, with a whistle-stop tour of city and town centres by the Celebrate Choir. A 50-strong ensemble made up of singers from diverse choirs, including Notty Ash School's Signing Choir, the Soul Choir from Manchester, the Pyramid Sound Choir from Warrington, and the Sing Out Project from Manchester. Over the course of 9 days, a range of events will be taking place across the region, with particular themes each day. For an up-to-date list of events, see the festival's website at www.celebrate.org. During the week, a specially commissioned short film will be showing on screens in major public spaces, with representatives from each of the featured diverse groups performing our own parts of the Celebrate poem, penned by Liverpool poet Levi Tafari. No, none of us does that very well, I'm afraid. The film will be showing at sites such as Exchange Square and the Printworks in Manchester City Centre and the Trafford Centre. From today, you can also watch it online, and you can download a version in QuickTime format if your connection is not fast enough to watch in real time. Some of the daily themed events over the remaining 6 days will be covering topics such as Wealthbringers on Monday, Making Diversity Work at Work on Wednesday. On Thursday, 8th of June, the Community Champions theme will be celebrating the contribution made to the region by people of all backgrounds through their voluntary work. As the event progresses, I'll be watching the proceedings with very mixed feelings, though. The whole concept is something that I've supported through a very personal sense of conviction about inclusivity from the outset. The best part has been the general enthusiasm with which people from so many backgrounds and stakeholder groups have embraced the idea. It's really nice to celebrate rather than apologise about the ways in which people are so different from one another in a modern mixed culture society like Northwest England today. It's particularly important for people in different minorities to support one another too. We all have to know our limitations when advocating about the needs of other groups, such as disabled people, lesbian women, faith groups, and so forth. Yet, as a diversity advocate, I'm personally aware of the multifaceted nature of my own identity and experiences. As a single woman, as someone now old enough to meet age-based stereotyping, and as someone who never hesitates to speak from the heart about the experience that a transsexual history imparts. Our identities are seldom experienced in complete isolation. Yet the preparations for this particular festival have also been a sad reminder of the enormity of the discriminations still facing transsexual people today, even with the protections from two important pieces of legislation. As we drew up the key festival themes, looking for examples of happy families, creators of wealth, interesting careers, and as we started trawling for people to volunteer as role models to celebrate, it became more and more painfully obvious what exclusion does to people and the way it works against the concept of civic society. It's not that trans people are incapable of anchoring strong and happy families. It's not that trans people are incapable of using their immense talents to lead or create successful enterprises. It's not that trans people are inherently low achievers in any aspect of personal, business and community life. We can always cite the famous examples, the people who've gambled their successes to contradict the lies about us. But long-term systematic discrimination has created a triple whammy to limit the range of examples we can put forward. First, there are all the people for whom fear and discrimination have meant family estrangement, work in limited fields, and lower promotion expectations when they actually find a job. It's not that trans people are natural failures in the contribution department. Many are inherently very talented. It's that society has largely failed trans people. Discrimination has done its work too well, depriving us of a pool of people with anything to celebrate. Second, among those who are successful despite the odds, there remains the perceived risk from new discrimination by coming out. How many would willingly subject a family they love to the puerile scrutiny that greets people who live with and love trans people? How many even today would risk their career and leadership credibility by focusing irrelevant attention on their gender and medical history? And last but not least, it takes two to tango. Can trans people be sure that those who've risen and succeeded in spite of the most daunting of odds will be readily celebrated by others if they do come out with pride to show the world their contribution to the lives of others? Is it a message to be greeted by cheers or sneers? Many could be forgiven for wondering whether the world is still yet ready for them. When people are not sure if an invitation is really meant for them, they're liable to stay away from the party. All of these factors have therefore combined over the last few months to leave me with a hollow feeling of contributing my own ideas and enthusiasm towards a celebration that trans people are far from ready to share. It's like being the baby at a christening party. The event is theoretically about us, but it's the others who are really better equipped to dress up fine, to drink too much, and generally have the good time. So, as someone who cares a lot about other people's equality, I'll now be watching the rest of Celebrate Don't Discriminate this week and hoping it goes well. I hope the message gets home. I hope that people really do feel uplifted to be part of nature's wondrous diversity. Maybe a few will ponder the talents they could be missing out on. But I somehow doubt that anyone at all will look around them at the end of the party and say, "Crikey, where are all the trans folk?" When our absence becomes an automatic cause for concern by others, then it'll be an occasion to celebrate.